morning in Matthew chapter 9. Now, I just want to give you a quick introduction for those of you that are familiar with the book of Matthew, and just a quick introduction just in case you are not quite as familiar as others. We understand that the synoptic gospels are made up of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is considered to be, even though it's a part of the four gospels, but it's unique in its framework that the book of John is written to all people. We know the book of Matthew, though, is unique in this sense, that it's written because Matthew wants to convince the Jews that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He has power, He has the credentials, and I have taught through these chapters in the years past, but when you come to Matthew chapter 8 and 9, it really is an overwhelming couple of chapters. The reason I say that is because Jesus does miracle after miracle in these few chapters. It shows up all of a sudden in chapter 8, if you were to look there, and you'll find in chapter 8 that Jesus heals a leper, and then we find the centurion's faith of the one that came to Jesus and told Jesus, "You don't even have to come to my house." Why is that? Just speak the word. Amen. Just speak the word. Then we know Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. We know she had a fever. And then we go on to see where Jesus calms the winds and the sea. We see in chapter 9 that Jesus heals a man with palsy. And then we all of a sudden we get to this unique place right here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. And we're going to read this text to you. And I want to talk to you this morning about two different people that receive healing. As a matter of fact, one of them is raised from the dead. We're going to talk to you very briefly about the healing of Jairus' daughter and also the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I know these two stories are extremely familiar to you, but I'm telling you at times the application of these stories in our lives are not what they should be. How many believes God still wants to heal? I believe God is a healer. I believe it is His heart to heal His children. As a matter of fact, healing is the children's bread. So I want to look at this real quick, and we'll just kind of talk about it as we're walking through it a little bit here this morning. But it says, while He spake, and this is Matthew 9 and 18, while He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now we understand that the story is shared elsewhere in the Gospels. We see that Jairus is a leader in one of the synagogues. And what's so interesting about this story about Jairus coming to Jesus, this would not have been a popular thing to do. I just can imagine there, because Jairus being a leader there in the synagogue, and we all understand that Jesus is not the most popular man in a good sense in town in the minds of the Jewish leaders. But can you imagine as Jairus is sitting there one day in his office, his little girl is back there at the house, she's sick and not feeling well, he knows that it's very severe, and can you imagine maybe as Jairus is looking there on his desk, and just follow me if you would, and I'm putting this in my terms and how I would understand it today, and Jairus is sitting there at his desk, and he looks there on his desk, and there's a picture of that beautiful young daughter of his little girl, and anybody has any children, you understand what I'm talking about. And that little girl, I even have a little girl, and even then at times there's something about that little girl and her daddy, just how she can really just tug at your heartstrings. And I love my boy and my daughter exactly the same. But my daughter just has a way, and she'll say, Daddy, I love you. Or she thinks I'm just Superman, you know. I can do absolutely anything. And can you imagine as Jairus is sitting there looking at that picture of that little girl, and he's got to make a decision. His decision is this: I can sit here and try to honor the Jewish religion. I can sit here at this desk without any power, without any ability to help my daughter, or I can do something that is extreme. I can do something that is outside of the norm in the sense of a Jewish leader. And all of a sudden, can you see Jairus as he rises up from his desk, wipes the tears from his eyes, and all of a sudden he's saying, you know what? I'm going to go across
town, and I'm going to find the only one that can help my little girl. Maybe Jairus has heard already about Jesus healing the leper. Maybe he's heard about maybe Jesus calming the sea. And Jairus, as he rises up from his desk and he walks there out of that door and he goes into the city, he's making a decision. I'm going to find the one that can help me. Have you ever come to such a place in your own life? Maybe it's a Sunday morning just like this, and you get out of bed and you say, you know what? I went to church Wednesday and I went last Sunday, but I'm going this morning because I'm going to talk to the one that can meet the needs in my life, the one that can heal the body of my children, or the one that can touch my wife, or the one that can touch my family, the ones that can save my loved ones. And so Jairus goes to Jesus, and the Bible says, and Jesus arose, and as this man came to Jesus, he made his request known unto him. And we find this, as I've already said, in other portions of the gospel. But he comes to him and says, Jesus, if you would come, my daughter is near death. Can you come? And the Bible, I love what verse 19 says, because Jesus no doubt is a busy man. Jesus no doubt has other things that he could do. But the Bible says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Aren't you glad that Jesus is accessible to us, that Jesus cares about us, that Jesus is able to meet the needs in our life, that we never go to him and Jesus says, oh, not right now, maybe later, but as soon as Jairus come, all of a sudden Jesus arose and he followed him. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is available to meet the needs in your life. But this is interesting, and I know you know this already. I'm kind of just rehearsing this to you. We know that Jairus, anybody remember how old Jairus' daughter is? 12 years old. And all of a sudden we know as Jesus is walking, and you know the story, what happens all of a sudden? What interrupts the narrative? All of a sudden the crowd is massive, and it's a boisterous crowd, and all of a sudden somebody reaches through and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible tells us, and as you read this illustrated to us in other portions of the Gospels, you'll find that what happened, the Bible says that there's this woman, how long has she had the issue of blood? 12 years. Now, I'm not trying to put too much together here, but as a 12-year-old girl, and just as long as this girl has been alive, you've got this older woman with the issue of blood that's had this disease for just as long as that girl has been alive. You have here a picture that is beautiful. You have the needs of a younger generation, and you have the needs of an older generation. 12 years. This has been going on in her life. She's had this issue of blood, and you know what this is, and the ceremony in the Old Testament. We know what the issue of blood was. It would actually make her considered to be unclean, ceremonially unclean. She was not able to participate in the worship. She was not able to participate in the daily or the yearly and annual functions there in the synagogue. She was an outcast. She was somebody considered unclean. As you read about the life of this woman, she's lived this way for 12 years. My, what discouragement, what despondency, what hopelessness is in her life. But the Bible says in one of the other gospels, and when she heard about Jesus, amen. Isn't it good to know that somebody can hear about Jesus and maybe say, my, well, I hear about this man and I've got this need in my life. Brothers and sisters, don't ever underestimate how powerful it is to have a witness to tell somebody about Jesus. They may never come to your church, and they may never come to my church. They may never show up to our different things that we may have, but who knows, maybe they'll hear about Jesus and make a decision to make a move in the right direction. I'm glad we can tell those about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And I picture this in my mind. I'm very illustrative of my own thoughts sometimes. I said, maybe that woman's sitting there one day, and all of a sudden a little young girl comes running by. And said, how you doing, Miss So-and-so? And she says, how you doing, sweetie? Have you heard about this man called Jesus? Well, no, sweetie, I don't know much about him. He just opened somebody's blinded eyes. He did what? You know, there was a man that had leprosy, and all of a sudden this woman's ears would have perked up because leprosy's unclean as well. Now she's relating to the situation a little more. And there in Matthew chapter 8, you read the story. It says there was a multitude and this leper come out the crowd. Lepers didn't come out the crowd. And lepers didn't even come close to people. They had to stay a great distance away. They had to wear bells around their neck. And they would have to cry out unclean because in that time they were considered so unclean. It was so contagious. But this leper came to Jesus and Jesus put out his hand and did something so audacious. He touched the leper. And the leper was made whole. Imagine his nose growing back. One writer said it's probably like fireworks going off in his DNA as things are popping back together. Limbs are growing back. And everybody's beholding this. Maybe that little girl looked at this woman and said, Mrs., I'm just telling you, there was a leper. He came out of the crowd. And all of a sudden, he healed the leper. And that woman all of a sudden is saying, I'm hearing about this man called Jesus. I've got to go find out where he is. Imagine this woman coming to the crowd. It's been 12 years. She has exhausted all of her resources. She has spent all of her money on all of the physicians. There is no physical remedy. There is nothing that they can do for her. There's no advice. There's no counsel. And all of a sudden she gets to where Jesus is and there's this large crowd that's gathered around him and she's there. Can you imagine now the next step of hopelessness there? How is she going to get through this crowd? No doubt she's embarrassed. No doubt she's weak. But she gets there and the Bible says she began to press through the crowd. There's a difference here, brothers and sisters. You can come to be a spectator or you can come to press in. You can come just to analyze or you can come to press in. I wonder on this Sunday morning, what would it be if you had a need in your life? If you had a situation in your family? If you had a situation in your household? If you had a situation that only God could remedy? Would you be willing to come this morning? Maybe look at your neighbor and says, look, excuse me this morning. I think I'm going to get a little closer to Jesus. I think I'm going to find out the one, the master, the one that can heal me. Look, I know he's able to do it, but I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. It's times, brothers and sisters, you just got to press in. I know you've heard it your whole life, but it's times you got to do it. It's times you got to do it for your family. It's times you got to do it for your marriage. Times you got to do it for your church. Look, I love you all. I wish I could press in for you. And look, if I could put it off on you to press in for me, I might would try to do it. But this is a reality of it. Only you can have, be the one to be so bold that you come to the boundaries, you come to the barriers, and you say, you know what? In my mind right now, that woman had to make a decision. I can look at this crowd and I can go back home and just try to live like this the rest of my life. But she looked at the crowd that has so ostracized her over the years, the crowd, the ones that have hindered her over the years, and she makes her mind up. I ain't going back home the same way I came. So she begins to press in. She begins to work her way through. I don't know how low she had to get. I don't know what she had to do. I don't know if she said, excuse me, but she made her way to the master. Amen. Amen. She made her way to the master. Yeah. Now I want you to notice something here. This woman had no confidence to come to Jesus and stand in front of him. She didn't. She snuck up behind him. Now notice this. This woman right here has no confidence. This woman here is completely, she's not like the synagogue leader. You know, the synagogue leader comes up to Jesus. You know, he's got a little clout. Been around for a while. They know who he is in town. He probably didn't have to press through the crowd. Excuse me, sirs. Oh, that's Mr. Jairus there. He's let him through. Come on now. Let him through. Here he is. He might have had a few folks from the synagogue with him, helping him get to Jesus. I don't know. I know I'm speculating a little bit. But this woman right here didn't even have the confidence to stand in front of Jesus and make such a request. She had kind of a timid faith. And as one writer said years ago, and please, I know it seems like a little bit like a paradox, but understand what the writer is saying. She almost felt like she had to steal, that she was stealing or healing almost. That Jesus would look at her and say, she's unclean or she's not worthy. All she knew, he was a healer. She didn't have a perfect Christology right now. She hadn't been to seminar, nothing like this. She knows that he's good and she knows that he can heal. But why would she be worthy of this? Maybe Jesus would look at her and say, man, you're just unworthy. You're unclean. The law says this. So she sneaks up behind Jesus and the Bible says instantly,
You know, I believe that sometimes God can heal progressively if He so decides. Can build your faith. I've seen God use many of doctor in their wisdom and understanding of the human body and natural remedies and stuff like that. I'm not opposed to those things. But there's also been times that people have pressed in themselves and God instantly did something. Right? Matter of fact, we need them more in our churches. Right? Man, what would one divine miracle do right now on a Sunday morning? How would it change just the whole thought process of what's going on in your life right now? Somebody come up here and it was a known issue and we had the faith and we've been praying and fasting and not that we're doing this by works, but we're doing it by faith and God sees that and He honors it and God begins to do something miraculous. But this woman, all of a sudden the Bible says instantly her issue was stanched, which means it had stopped. And she quit. The issue quit there. What an amazing thing. But you know the story. Jesus instantly said, He stopped. Who touched the hem of my garment? And we know the disciples are looking at Jesus. And you know, they're smarter than what they think at times. Like Jesus said that. And they said, well, Jesus, look around. There's all these folks around us. You know, look. You know, what do you mean who touched us? I mean, people have been touching me the whole time, Jesus. No. Virtue has left my body. Boy, brothers and sisters, that's a touch. For a woman's faith to be so pure that she can touch the incarnate Christ and His divinity be temporarily activated enough to heal her body. Now, I know He's God, and I know He's a part of the Trinity, and there's nothing catches Jesus by surprise, but we know Jesus honors certain levels of faith. Didn't He tell the centurion's man? He says, look, I hadn't found faith like this in Israel. But it wasn't much longer. There's a woman that's going to come along and make him run for his competition. There, you understand what I'm saying? She comes up and she says, if I could touch but the hem of his garment. Jesus says, who touched me? For now virtue has left my body. And all of a sudden, can you imagine that woman sitting there, trembling in a sense, made whole. She hadn't felt what she felt before. This is new. This is real. But Jesus is stopping on purpose because he wants to have a conversation with this woman. And this conversation is this. What is it? He says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Do you know how important it is that Jesus clarify that to her? She might have left there and said, Jesus has a mighty powerful coat. Man, if you could just get there and touch the hem of that garment, boy, wouldn't everybody like to have that robe, right? If there was such a robe, you know the Catholics would find it and put it to a place you couldn't get to it till you paid for it. But imagine as Jesus is saying, thy faith. He was letting the lady know, it's not because of your superstitions. It's not because you came here and just touched this. It's your faith that did something. It's nothing to do with the robe. It's nothing to do with the tassels of this garment. But it's your faith that has made you whole. As a matter of fact, he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. She had not heard words like this in 12 years. All she's heard is unclean. All she's heard was get away. But Jesus looks at her and says, be of good cheer. You ever had somebody tell you, look, cheer up. Put your head up, son. But you know it matters who tells you that at times. You go to the doctor. The doctor says you got cancer. You go back to the doctor a few months later. And says, the cancer's gone. Hold your head up. That just means a little something more, right? When Jesus, the Son of God, looks at you and says, be of good cheer. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you, we may not be this woman with the issue of blood, and we may not have had such a situation identical to this, but you've got a whole entire Bible you can read full of promises, layer of layer, telling you to hold your head up, cheer up, no matter what you're going through. Christ still speaks up us, be of good cheer. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now back to the story. That's a good part of it, right? But all of a sudden, the news comes to Jairus. Jairus, your daughter is what? She's dead. Trouble the master no more. Just let him go on his way. Don't trouble him anymore. I like what Jesus says. Jesus says, take me
to where she is. Now, the way this bears out in the book of Matthew is a lot more brief than the other Gospels and where else it is recorded. But we know that Jesus came to the ruler's house and they saw the minstrels and the people making noise. They had professional criers paid. You know, folks will do anything for some money nowadays. Imagine being a professional mourner. Imagine having to go, and I was reading about this one time, and I may have taught about this here before. Imagine the ruckus that would have been in this little house. They're playing instruments, and even these professional mourners were captured tears in bottles and bottle them up and give them to the family to show them. And it was actually believed among some of the customs that the more bottles of tears that you had, the more missed you would be. I hope I at least could get one bottle. Hope you could get a couple yourself. But Jesus goes in, and we know, according to the other Gospels, he takes his certain disciples with him. He goes in, and all of a sudden, he sees, and it says that he made these mourners, and these that were making all the wailing and the sounds, he thrust them out of the house. He made them get out. And Jesus says, look, she only sleeps. And because they begin to laugh at him, he had to make them get out of the room. But all of a sudden, when he gets into this room, and he sees that little girl laying there. Boy, that hits home. I've often thought of many of time, God, as I've prayed for my children, if I laid them down in bed and I've laid my hand on their little chest, I said, God, if there ever become anything in their life, help me to be such as Jairus that I can go find Jesus. Jesus grabs the little girl's hand. What does he say unto her? Arise. And all of a sudden, that lifeless body had life. This is what I want you to notice, and this is what really has ministered to my heart over the years of studying this and reading through it. That when Jesus grabbed this little girl's hand, this little damsel, and said, arise, can you imagine her kind of waking up, trying to figure out all what's going on? There's a possibility, and I'm not just trying to throw your mind into another place, but there's a very great possibility she had already been to paradise for a very short season. Probably confused, didn't know how to describe all of that. But all of a sudden she's there. Maybe she thought it was just a dream. All of a sudden she comes back and she looks across that room. There's Jesus and there's Daddy. She sees a Daddy that had enough faith to go find Jesus and to keep on walking and to ask Jesus, Jesus, Lord, I know that the Pharisees and I know that the rulers of the synagogue ain't gonna like me doing this, Jesus, but I don't care what they think anymore. I've got a little girl that's dying. And when he heard that she was dead, Jesus didn't say, look, all right, she's dead. He said, no, take me to where she is. That little girl looked there and could see a daddy that believed that Jesus was able to do it. And can you imagine? I don't know if Jairus had a journal entry or not. I don't know if you keep a journal or not. I tried before, and it's, I think I write a page every 3 years. I wish I was a little more detailed. And you know, I read behind these missionaries, and they write every day, 3 or 4 times a day. But can you imagine Jairus writing down that specific day and that specific date, that night, sitting at his desk as he's looking again at the picture of his daughter and saying to himself, man, I'm so glad I went and found Jesus, because Jesus has made all of the difference. Is anybody else glad that they found Jesus? Hallelujah. Anybody else glad that one day, you may be here this morning, maybe this has already taken place in your life, but you're glad there was a certain event in your life that you had a few different options. And one of the options was this: I can just sit here and don't even pray about it. I could sit here and worry and fret about it. But no, you said, you know what? I'm going to go find Jesus. Why is that? Because that day, Jairus' life was never the same. You know, I know the synagogues were a lot different than what we do here. A lot different. They would read the Torah and different stuff like that. But if I was to write a chapter for Jairus, I would say the next Lord's Day, or the next Sabbath for them, that he got in his pulpit, don't you think he told somebody about it? Maybe? Don't you think he had to tell somebody, look, I know they're saying all this about Jesus, but I'm telling you, he's a miracle worker. He's one that can make a difference in your life. So my question is this morning, and once again, I do want to pray around these altars. I don't have a lot of good illustrations for you. I just got the text here for you today. Stand to your feet if you would. As my wife goes to the piano. Do you have a need in your life? Is there something going on in your heart today that you need Jesus to help you? Can I tell you right now, Jesus is accessible to you. He is. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are underneath a better covenant than what Jairus is. You know, Jesus could only be in one physical place at one time. We know that Jesus told his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. Why? Because he's going to send a comforter. Can I tell you right now, you don't even have to get up from the desk like Jairus and walk across town and try to locate Jesus. All you got to do is by faith, in a moment of prayer, step into the throne room of grace, make your petition known, and let God meet the needs, give you direction, give you wisdom for the situation. Brother, you ain't got to be, we don't even have to be like the woman there with the issue of blood. We don't even have to come to the crowd and have to push our way through the crowd. All we've got to do is pray and trust the Lord and know that God is able to meet us. And by your faith, can I say that to you? What was the very thing why did Jesus go to Jairus' house? Because Jairus had faith. Why was it that the woman with the issue of blood, why was her need met? Because she had faith. So my question is this morning, do you have faith? It's my question. It's my challenge. That's my altar call. Can you be a Jairus? Can you be that like that woman? Can you come find you a place to pray this morning? Lay your family on this altar. Lay the sickness on this altar. I don't know, God may do something immediate in your life. I pray that he will. But who knows, it may be more like a process like it was for Jairus. But regardless, brothers and sisters, God is able to meet the needs in your life today. Yes, he is.